discussion and review only. There's not to be any action taken by the council. In your packet on Friday, you received a 10-page document in the form of a memorandum giving the history of the action on the Jack Lingo Asset Management LLC application referred to as Love Creek RV Resort and Campground. Be advised that on August 22nd, 2013, the Planning and Zoning Commission did recommend approval of this application, of these applications for change of zoning and conditional use for the establishment of an RV resort and campground. The packet includes a record of the minutes of the commission and their recommendations. The agenda items for discussion purposes this morning are only conditional uses, in this case, number 1951 for the Jack Lingo Asset Management. It does not make reference to the rezoning request that was inclusive, even though they were considered together. As I stated, you have a 10-page report in front of you. I'm sure you don't want me to have to read it.
No, sir.
I hope you don't want me to read it anyway. It is a part of the record. As I stated, there was a motion on this application for approval. There were 14 reasons, and there were conditions of approval with additional sidebar items from A through V, almost the full alphabet, for conditions of approval. With those conditions, there was a motion and a second, and carried 4-1 with the application before the council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. As I stated, that was a motion carried 4-1. Mr. Smith was the only nay vote. For the benefit of the council record, be reminded that on February 19th of 2013, council deferred action, left the record open for the traffic impact study from DLDOT and for the following additional information. They were based on questions raised by Mr. Cole. One, first question was, are cabins permitted per the county's land use plan and ordinances? Second, is any part of the application not in compliance with the county land use plan and ordinances? Third, ask DLDOT if there is a need for a traffic impact study for Cedar Grove Road in both directions. And four, what are the tax revenues from other campgrounds? Mr. Vincent, as president, did announce that the public hearing was closed and that the record would remain open for the traffic impact study and for responses to Mr. Cole's questions. Therefore, both applications were deferred. In reference to those questions, be advised that the traffic impact study was received on June 6th of 2013. With a cover letter, which references that DLDOT accepts the review letter from Johnson, Moran, and Thompson Incorporated, their traffic engineering consultants, and that DLDOT concurs with the recommendations. I forwarded a copy of the study to County Administrator Vince Robertson, Shane Abbott, and the commission members. In reference to question one of the council's action, are cabins permitted per the county's land use plan and ordinances? And be advised after reviewing both that the comprehensive plan makes reference to campground activities, typically only within state parks, but does not make any specific reference to cabins. And the zoning ordinance, being chapter 115 of the Code of Sussex County, makes reference to parks and campgrounds for mobile campers, tents, camp trailers, touring vans, and the like, but does not specifically reference cabins for camping. The reference in the code or reference to the type of conditional use in different sections of the code, and for example, I use the AR1, and in the conditional use article of the code, article 24, and requires certain criteria to qualify as a campground. Camping cabins have been permitted by the commission in several campgrounds since camping cabins are another style or type of camping unit. There are several campgrounds in the county that have cabins used for camping purposes, and I would reference the Holly Lake campgrounds, the Big Oak campgrounds just off Route 1, and the Delaware Seashore State Parks, and there are others, but they're a small number. in reference to question two in the council's action, is any part of the applications not in compliance with the county land use plan and ordinances? And I would advise that there are some setback issues and lot size issues that were picked up in a review of the site plan by staff and people showing interest in the site plan. And for example, the distance from camping sites to dwellings, square footage of some of the campground sites. And be reminded that these issues came about during the public hearing process. If the council approves the use, the site plan will then have to be submitted to the commission for review and consideration, and shall be required to indicate all the criteria required by the code and all the conditions of approval depicted or noted on the site plan. So those issues have to be addressed based on the code. In reference to question number three in the council's action, ask DLDOT if there is a need for a traffic impact study for Cedar Grove Road in both directions. And again, be advised that DLDOT had previously established the roadways that needed to be considered as a part of the traffic impact study. One of those roads was Cedar Grove Road. Also, Ward Road, Plantation Road, Postal Lane, Marbury Knoll Road, and Route 24, and their related intersections. The study determined if the project is approved, certain roadway improvements should be required. For example, full site entrance, westbound site entrance, northbound Cedar Grove Road, southbound Cedar Grove Road, and the developers should enter into an agreement with DLDOT to fund 20% of the improvements planned for Route 20, should be Route 24, it's a typo on my part, sorry, and Marbury Knoll Road intersection. That the developer should be required to identify routes to and from the project that are well suited for RV traffic. That the developer should be required to identify a target number of RVs that would be seasonal as opposed to short-term site rentals. And that certain bicycle, pedestrian, and transit improvements should be required. In reference to question four in the council's action, what are the tax revenues from other campgrounds? And be advised that the documentation in the file for the project provide an overview between this proposal and the Holly Lake campground. And I use that as the largest and closest campground to the site. The Holly Lake campground has existed for many years and is located on Route 24 and Holly Lake Road. The report indicates that Love Creek Campground and Resort, with an estimated assessed value of $676,891, would generate a total annual revenue of $85,265.95 for county, library, and school taxes and sewer service charges, and then a total one-time revenue of $1,192,932 for realty transfer tax, connection fees, plan review and inspection fees, and building permit fees. And by comparison, the Holly Lake Campground, with an estimated assessed value of $70,400, would generate a total annual revenue of $2,357.76. for county, library, and school taxes. And in the reference to Holly Lake, there was no one-time revenues provided for the Holly Lake campground because that was prior to. And that's the basis of my report.
Okay.
What's the total units in those campgrounds, Holly Lake, for instance? The number of units in Holly Lake.
I was asked that question previously, and in Holly Lake, there, based on their plans, there are 992 spaces on approximately 171 acres, with a mix of cabins, travel trailers, RV, and tent camping.
92. Is that the largest in the county?
No.
Treasure Beach.
Treasure Beach would be the largest. And I have that number too, if you like, here. Based on the record, again, they have 1,000 sites with utilities and 35 transit sites on approximately 115 acres. So that would be 1,035, basically.
Okay, thank
if the files were correct. That's all I had to go by.
Of course they are.
Any more questions, Mr. Lank?
But the only...
Mr. Cole?
Nothing.
No?
No, okay. Just some straight. There was only 35 transient sites out of the rest of them are all seasonal.
That's what the record indicated.
That, yeah, I know.
You
know
that's
I know.
Been in the file for years. It could have been switched around a little
right.
bit.
Right, but that's what's we basically...
We contact Treasure Beach directly.
Yeah, what's happened to every campground in the county has been that they've gone to seasonal sites because it's so much easier. And then we basically got permanent development again, and you're not really servicing the need for campers and the transients that we hear about. So we ended up with just another permanent type of development, it seems, but they're just in campers or park
those,
models or
some
campers.
Of those transit sites are tents because just yeah. passing by, you can see tents on occasion.
Yeah, but I mean, the family pulling that little small camper
oh, yeah, I agree.
Behind it, there's very limited places they can go in this county because the people who own these campgrounds have all gone to seasonal sites. So,
any more questions, Mr. Lang?
Interesting.
Are you saying that none of those 1,000 could be used for somebody coming in with an RV for a week?
No. That's the way it was described in the file. I really can't. We didn't contact Treasure Beach
right, it may
to
not
determine
be
what it is currently. It could have been several years ago when that was. Those numbers were generated based on the file.
950 and 45 now or something like that. Yeah, I mean, it changes, I'm sure.
Sure.
Oh, it does, I'm sure.
Yeah.
All right. If you would then give us the update on conditional use 1963.
And while you're looking it up, in the past, Lawrence, we have with conditional use determined, or the council has determined, that a certain portion would be available to transient sites, where in the past we didn't specify. But we have recently specified that a certain percentage.
There have been issues right. in different parks, which...
Also,
we don't get that many applications for them,
right.
but we just happen to have a rush this year for some reason.
Right, and then the park
that
model.
They have condition on the type of use.
Right, and the park model, basis. Which is another, again, it looks like a miniature mobile home. We've also limited the number of park models within a campground, right, in the past.
Yes, we have.
Right, so we've been flexible enough to try to... I guess keep up to the changing nature of camping with the conditional use. It has given us the flexibility, but we don't have any real standard. It's been across the board and basically shooting from the hip when we do that. So,
Other item being conditional use number 1963 was the application of Ida C. Fawcett, Fawcett Heirs LLC, and Massey Land and Park Incorporated. I forward to the administration a report, I believe it's 7 pages on this application. The Planning and Zoning Commission had made a recommendation of approval for the Massey's Land, and just to summarize that as all the names of the corporations, with 14 or 13 reasons, and then A through T, almost another full alphabet of conditions of approval. And that was a recommendation in that case by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Mr. Burton, and carried unanimously to forward that application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with those conditions stated. And that was a unanimous decision, 5-0. In reference to the council actions, on June 18th of 2013, council deferred action, left the record open for comments from Mr. Izzo, county engineer, regarding the archaeological issues, memos from legal counsel for the applicant and the opposition, and a response from DelDOT for clarification of traffic issues. In reference to Mr. Izzo's comments, I was advised by Mr. Everett Moore, county attorney, that the comments submitted by Dan Parsons during the public hearing process regarding the application were meant to be recommendations for consideration as proposed condition of approval, and they apologized for any confusion that resulted from that recommendation. In reference to the memorandums from legal counsel for the applicant, who at that time was James A. Fuquay Jr. Esquire, and the opposition, who was Mary R. Shriver Fox Esquire, Mr. Moore advised me that he had talked to both legal council and that the legal issue had been resolved and that there was no longer a necessity to hold the record open for those issues. In reference to the request for a response from DLDOT for clarification of traffic issues, I wrote to T. William Brockenbrow, County Coordinator, the Development Coordination of DLDOT on July 23, 2013, just after council's public hearing, and advised Mr. Brockenbrow that the council had held public hearing and received substantial opposition, expressing concerns and complaints that the county council was provided comments from DLDOT, which referenced a 2005 traffic impact study review, and that was dated on November 23rd of 2005. And that is the opposition's opinion that the traffic impact study should be more recent, since this is the year 2013. Included in those parties in opposition was Stephen Rain, project engineer for Kirscher Engineering Incorporated. And in that, this memorandum and what I sent to Mr. Brockenbrow, I sent a copy of Mr. Rain's letter and asked Mr. Brockenbrow if DLDOT feels that a new traffic impact study is necessary, and asked him for clarification. Mr. Brockenbauer responded by letter dated July 19, 2013, which I have attached for review in this report rather than trying to summarize since the response was somewhat lengthy. I also attached a copy of Mr. Rain's letter for cross-reference purposes, and that is my report. The DLDOT comments in response were approximately two and a half pages, basically.
Okay.
But that is attached in the report.
Okay. And both those conditional uses, we held the public record open for certain comments. We received all those on both them. Is that correct?
All the references, if you accept what I just reported, all the requests for additional information were submitted and provided. Mm-hmm.
So in that case, Mr. Rutt, can we consider those both public comments closed?
Yes, public comments are closed, and it was held open specifically today for the staff report, which gotcha. Mr. Lank just gave, so right. There's really nothing else to go.
Thank you, sir, Mr. Lank.
Thank you, Mr. Lank.
Thank you.
Mrs. Jennings, grant requests.
Good afternoon, Mr. President, members of council. I have three grant requests. The first one is the BB Medical Foundation. They are requesting support for their 26th annual BB Ball. The ball is benefiting the expansion of the Margaret H. Rollins School of Nursing at BB Medical Center. They have sponsorship levels that range from $1,500 to $7,500. The last grant received was $1,100. It was $220 each.
From each council person. We do that again? Make a motion for that again, please.
You can make a motion, or you can. Mrs. Deaver makes a motion.
Second.
Second, Mr. Cole, to grant $1,100 to BB Medical Foundation for their annual BB Ball, and be $220 from each councilmatic grant district. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried.
And the next grant is the Overfalls Foundation. They're requesting support to maintain the Lightship Overfalls located at the Lewis Canal Front. There's no specific amount requested, and the last grant they received was $1,000 from Ms. Deaver.
Well, they got that last year because that was a specific project, and they have a book that they published, which is beautiful. But this effort, I would think, I've only got, what is it, $18,000?
$18,800.
And the rest of the year to spend it. And the year is getting old. So I think that $300 is enough at this time.
Second.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Phillips, to grant $300 to the Overfalls Foundation for vessel maintenance expenses from Mrs. Deaver's Council MAC account. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried.
Okay, the last grant is Delaware Hospice. They're requesting a sponsorship for their sixth annual golf outing. Delaware Hospice has served 43,000 patients and families at the largest, most experienced, and only nonprofit hospice in Delaware. Funds raised at this outing will help them continue to meet the community needs. The last grant received was $500, and it was $100 each.
I make a motion we give $200 this year.
Second.
Well, are we guaranteed that it stays in Sussex County, though?
Guaranteed, and Gina, paid on it, must stay in Sussex County.
Okay.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second, Mr. Phillips, to grant $1,000 to support the hospice fundraising, and that'd be $200 from each Councilmatic account.
Just like Washington, D.C., it doesn't matter, does it?
Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes, I'm glad to do it, but I've got to be very, very careful in the future about this. My account is draining down.
Mr. Cole?
That's the theory, right, Sam? Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Spend your money.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Proposing ordinance introduction. Mr. Rutt?
No proposed ordinance.
This is brought before council. Mr. Guy?
Oh.
Paul Rieger.
Paul Rieger. I don't know whether this is, I was up on a website, different website, found in for Kent County, just statutory procedures for suits of force and deed covenants or restriction. Not sure whether it's county, state, or however it works with the mediation process and stuff like that. It has like a 60-day, then a mediator thing for like $250 or and then goes to trial with everything. I didn't know whether Sussex County had something like that, because I did find it only under Kent. I couldn't find it under Sussex or Newcastle County for an ordinance. And with this, I mean, even if it was just state, if the fee was even lowered from $250 just to do the mediation for $100, a lot of people would just go straight through this if they knew about it and go straight through, because it says for mediation, you don't need a trial. You don't need an attorney. You can get the attorney later, and then the opposing homeowner would have to pay when they're found in default. But this just going through, finally found it after how long I've been trying to figure this situation out. If there's something that the county can do, that Sussex County can do, even with taking this one step farther and changing it from $250 for just a file complaint, if you made it like a $100 complaint, I'm sure that I have used more than $150 worth of zoning time, your time, everybody's time here, even for the 5 minutes, keeps adding up, going through. If it went to mediation, and if we had a document like this, it would kick it right out of zoning, have the resident, the HMO, or homeowners association, the resident being affected by the deed restriction. It seems like this would carry a lot more weight, go through mediation, and make it a lot easier process.
Do you have a copy of that? If you give that to Ms. Griffith on the end down there, clerk of the council. We'll have our...
Mr. Vincent, for your information, the Court of Chancery has a process for homeowners association disputes.
Okay.
So, I mean, there is something in place, but it's through the Court of Chancery.
Okay.
That's good to
know. We entertain a motion to go into executive session for pending potential litigation and land acquisition.
Got it.
Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. We're now going to executive session.